Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would, please. Guys, thank you so very much. Would you give these wonderful people up here a great hand? How much we appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to open your Bibles this morning again to Jeremiah, the first chapter. We are going to continue on in what we began last week, talking about the prophetic word for 2020 and setting up the foundation for that. We spent some time, and I feel like there's some things we need to go over again. I so appreciate what Holden brought out. He really did help me in this to recap some of the things that we did talk about last week. You know, one of the things we talked about was these words from the Lord, they do not have an expiration date. They really build, as Holden was saying, one on top of the other, on top of the other. And I was talking with Charles Green this morning. Charles Green is with us. Charles, would you wave at us? Praise God. We are so thankful that you are in the house today. You make a difference. He's always happy to be here. Praise God, Charles. So I'm talking to Charles back there in the speaker's room, and we're talking about 2019, the year of abundant harvest. And he looked at me, he said, I have a word for 2020. I said, what is it? He said, this is the year of a more abundant harvest. Thank you, Charles. Thank you. Thank you. A more abundant harvest. They do build one on top of the other. And I felt it was important that we spent some time talking about this. I'm so thankful during this Thanksgiving week. I'm thankful for the word of the Lord. One word from God can what? Change your life forever. So we started talking last week about the office of the prophet. I want to recap on a couple of things concerning that. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Are you there? It says in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. You know, that's what I believe for whenever I pray over these services. I'm believing for the word of the Lord, for you. Whatever it is, Lord, that they need, whatever is going on in their lives. Father, I want your words, not mine, your words. So the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I separated you, or I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Well, there's his assignment right there. A prophet to the nations. Being given the ability to speak words that change nations. A prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He's looking at himself in the natural realm. He's looking at his own, what he thinks to be his own ability. And really, he's heard this word and he's thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. But then in verse 7, the Lord corrects him and says, say not, I am a child. You know, you can receive that in several different ways. You can say, now don't say that you're a child. Or you can hear it, the voice of the Lord saying, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say I am a child. Don't say that I can't do this. He said, for you shall go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. You know, it's the first time that I've ever really said it that way before, or even thought about God speaking to Jeremiah in that kind of a tone. In that kind of a way that, do not say you're a child. Do not argue with me about this one. He said that you will go to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Sir, yes, sir, is the response that Jeremiah has. And then he says to him, don't be afraid of their faces. There's something about speaking out a prophetic word. And there's a boldness that goes along with it. There's a boldness to say things that would not normally be said. There's a boldness to say things that aren't necessarily politically correct. when the anointing is on the prophet to declare the word of the Lord, the prophet must be obedient to the Lord to say what the Lord wants that prophet to say. So he said, don't be afraid of their faces, which leads me to believe that Jeremiah was about to be told some things that there would be good opportunity for him to be afraid of the faces. Because so oftentimes these words that they speak are head on, they are face to face, and they are saying things that not necessarily people want to hear. So he says, don't be afraid of their faces. Why? Because I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. You know, that's something that every minister desires. Every minister. We desire for the Lord to touch our mouth so that the words that come forth out of our mouths are precise and they are exactly what the Lord wants to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Exactly what the Lord wants to say. And then he said this in verse 10, see, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms. Well, I thought the king was set over the nation. I thought the ruler was set over the kingdom. No, he said, I've set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. And this is what you're going to do. You are going to root out, you are going to pull down, you are going to destroy, and you're going to throw down, and you're going to build, and you are going to plant. That really is the job description of the prophet and what the prophet is called to do. Prophetic words. Words are the primary equipment of a prophet's ministry. The words that they speak. Those precious words that come down from heaven into the heart of a prophet, and that word comes forth. And those words are so powerful. Prophetic words are spoken with an unusual force and a level of authority in relation to the realms that that prophet is responsible for. When God gives one an assignment to speak over something, and as a pastor, I have touched that realm. I have experienced that realm. I've had flashes of that realm before. And it's a powerful thing. When that comes upon that prophetic office, it is a powerful thing because those words have the force of heaven itself behind them and a level of authority. When God says, I'm sending you over nations, that's a level of authority. To be able to speak words over nations. And the prophets speak weighty words. Weighty words. They are commands that are coming out of the throne room. Commands from the general himself that are coming through the prophet into the nations and into the realms and into the kingdoms. They're weighty. They're full of power. And they change these realms. They shift things, spheres, nations, kingdoms. As he said in verse 7, you'll go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you will speak. There is power in the words that we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we are, and I heard Brother Copeland preach this a number of years ago, we are the prophets of our own lives, declaring forth the things that are to take place in our lives. And really, in that kind of sense, we operate personally on a level to declare a word and to see that take place in our own lives. Well, these prophets, they have their assignments over different realms, different spheres, different places. And in verse 10, it says, see, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build up, and plant. All of those things are connected with the prophetic word. And last week when we were talking, we used the example of the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall was built in 1961, and it separated East Berlin from West Berlin. And some folks that, like I remember as a child when that wall was built and how awful that was. People were almost overnight separated from their families. And there were people that would continually try to climb over that wall. I was looking at a picture yesterday, just going through pictures of it, and I saw in a picture that I remember of these guards carrying away the body of someone that was shot trying to climb the wall and get to his family. It was awful. It was awful. And that construction began in August of 1961. It was on June the 4th of 1989. Brother Copeland declared, "The Berlin Wall will come down. It is a sign. The Berlin Wall will come down. There will be other walls that will come down. There will be some walls that will go up." The word of the Lord was spoken through the prophet, June the 4th, 1989. And you can see the connection here that where that wall was concerned and other walls, he was to root out, pull it down, destroy it, throw it down, then build and plant. And that's all in that word from the Lord. The Berlin Wall will come down. There are other walls that will come down. There are some walls that will go up. So destroying, pulling down, planting, building up. Now this was interesting because when that word was spoken, those words began to work on that wall. That's how powerful and weighty the prophetic word is. When it talks about rooting up, the words that were spoken about the Berlin Wall went down to the very root of it, the very foundation of it, the very spiritual root of it. It hit the nerve of the stronghold that was holding that wall up, and it began to work on it. And it began to work on it. It really does work in the same way that faith works in our lives. We speak to the mountain. We may not see it immediately removed, but it is working on it. Those words are working on it. And that's why we cannot be weary in well-doing. We continue to stand. We continue to believe. And it starts chipping away, and it chips away at that, and it chips away at the root. And we don't realize what's happening below that mountain. Have you ever seen a picture of a sinkhole? Have you ever seen a picture of a car? And this comes up on my phone every now and then. There's a car that goes down into a sinkhole in the earth. Well, that's the same way our words work where that mountain is concerned. We are standing. We are believing. We are declaring. We are receiving. And we are taking our place in the Spirit. And what's happening is that situation, it is affected the moment you speak the words. But then when you get into a place where you say, well, I guess it's not working for me, and it starts backing up, okay, construction stops or destruction stops. It stops. The angels, everybody starts backing off the job. They start moving back away from it. But our word, the word of God in the Old Testament, it says the word is like a hammer. It keeps pounding at it, and it keeps pounding at it, and pounding at it. And the prophetic word is the same way. This prophetic word that we have here about the abundant harvest, we keep pounding at it, and pounding at it, and pounding at it. That's why we've kept it up before our eyes all year long. That you see it every time you come into church. This is the year of abundant harvest. And it's going to continue. Our abundant harvest will continue into the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year. So that word is working on that situation. Well, going back to the illustration of the Berlin Wall, the word was working on that. It began working on the wall. It started at the root of it. And then November 9th of 1989, 158 days later. See, that Berlin Wall had been up for 28 years. 28 years. And after the word of the Lord was spoken, 158 days later, it's down. It is down. People are tearing into it. They are ripping it. There are bulldozers pulling it down. That came down. But it stood there for 28 years. And everybody's thinking, that'll never come down. That'll never come down. But it took the voice of the prophetic word for that wall to come down. We read last week, you don't have to turn there, but we read last week from Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That's why we look for the prophetic word for the new year. We look for those from people who are qualified, certified prophets. And we know that Brother Copeland is a certified prophet. There is no question about that. Can I get an amen from this congregation? He'll be speaking on New Year's Eve. If I were you, I'd be here. I'd be here. Really, because every time he speaks, he's speaking from that. He teaches from a prophetic place. It's amazing. I study it. I study him. And when we were just in Washington, D.C., and I'm sitting there listening to him speak, and I'm thinking to myself, just listening and watching how that word comes out of him. He just takes one word and attaches it to another and another and another and another until he just unhooks and then picks it back up again. But it's all a prophetic stream. Really, if you could take all of the messages that he preached when he first started, they all hook together into one gigantic word. It's amazing. And I was studying it. I see the same thing. I've watched it more and more with Pastor Terry. I have watched this prophetic anointing on her really, really building and getting stronger over this last year, especially. It just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger in here. She's teaching from that prophetic place. Words that are coming out. The prophetic word. I was thinking about, as a husband, I listen to my wife very carefully. Very carefully. Because she operates under the office of the prophet, even though she's Terry to me at home. But yet, there's still in the back of my mind the recognition of the calling that she has. She does the same thing with me, Pastor George. She does the same thing with me. But even in decisions that we're making about various things, I listen very closely to her, and I have to weigh, I've got to weigh that prophetic utterance that may be coming out of her about a certain thing that needs to be, and it may be a very natural thing. It may be something that just has to do with our household or the yard or something like that. So I take that very seriously. Because the prophetic office, they're pretty much carrying that. Well, I must say that about the pastor's office. You can ask Pastor Terry, because I end up pastoring people everywhere. I pastor them in stores. I pastor people everywhere. I'm always looking at people. And I'm aiming my pastoral sights at them. So you walk in this long enough, you operate out of that pretty much all the time. So I watch that where Brother Copeland is concerned, but surely the Lord will do nothing but he reveal his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The prophets have an ability to see out ahead. Prophets see things in the spirit before we do. They see things. They see things that deal with realms and spheres and nations and kingdoms. They see it before we do. This word, which I'll show you in just a moment, but this word about 2020, Brother Copeland saw that. He saw it. He saw that. In a moment, I'll also share with you the word that the Lord gave to Brother Savelle about 2020. And I listened this weekend to the message that he preached about it. And he woke up from sleep, and he's hearing the voice of the Lord declaring the word of the Lord for 2020. So I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But prophets see things. They see things before we do. And if you look at the word seer, which that is a prophet, is a seer, in the Hebrew, it means to see, to perceive, to see into. I like this one, to see out ahead. to see out ahead. It's amazing sometimes the relationship that Pastor Terry and I have. We've got a good chemistry with each other. We play well together. We work well together. But the interesting thing about Pastor Terry and what I have to weigh as a pastor, husband, is that Pastor Terry is seeing things way out there. And she wants to do them right now. And Pastor George is weighing that word very, very carefully. Pastor Terry, we only have so many people that are available to us right now to get some of these things done. So it's a good balance. There's things that she saw way back that we're doing now. How about the Kenneth Copeland Bible College? She saw it. She saw it a long, long time ago. So prophets are able to see. They're able to see out ahead. Now, let me interject something here really quick. We are the prophets of our own lives. So these things that I'm saying to you, they should apply to our own lives. We should be able in our families to see out ahead. Husbands, wives, to be able to see out ahead where our children are concerned, where our lives are concerned. The Lord will reveal to you things that are yet to come. But again, on a large scale, talking about a prophet, they do see out ahead, and they're also a beholder of visions. That's what the Hebrew says. They have the ability to see the future through a tunnel of time. I have in my study at home files and files of studies that I've done, titles and so forth. And I just went into my files and I picked out a file that I have called the Ministry of the Prophet. So I was looking through it, and there was something I noticed in there that was said by a woman named Lynn Hammond. Her husband is Mac Hammond. They pastor a wonderful church in Brooklyn Park, Minneapolis area. And so she was teaching on prayer, and she was talking about in this particular service she was doing, and I think it was a chapel here at the ministry. She was preaching on the office of the prophet. And I really took copious notes of that. And one of the things that she said, though, was this: prophets are like eagles. They are able to see far out in the distance. There's an apparatus that comes down over the eagle's eyes that make things clear. They can see further than any being on earth. That is the way of the prophet. It is not a natural eye. It is an eye that God gives them to see things that are yet to come. The way of the prophet is the way of the eagle. And then Holden read this scripture. I'll just read it to you. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe the prophets and you will prosper. The Hebrew there, prosper, means to push forward. You'll push forward. You'll break out. You'll advance. We'll make progress and we will succeed. So believe the word of the prophet and you'll succeed. You'll break forth. You'll make progress. But as Holden said, we must contend for these words. And we contend for these words by expecting it, by believing it, by standing, by praying, by acting on it. We have to contend for those words. So what is the word for 2020? Let's now flip the switch over here behind me and let's take a look at what the word is for 2020. As you can see, new visions, manifest power, great change. Say it with me. New visions, manifest power, great change. One more time. New visions, manifest power, great change. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We spoke quite a bit last week about new visions. I was praying about that today. I am praying about these things. I am searching the Lord's heart. What does this mean? What does this mean to the soon? New visions. New visions. What does new mean? New. Never before. Never before. When they put that little thing on a product and it says new, brand new, that means that's never before happened. New. I'm looking for new visions. Lord, what is your vision for this church? What is your vision for this ministry? What is your vision for the Bible school? What is your vision for our lives? What is your vision for the congregation? What is the vision for your businesses? What is the vision for your ministries? What is the vision that God has given you? And he's saying that this is a year of new visions. So I'm pressing in. I'm praying in the Spirit. I want to hear some things that I've never heard before. I do. Some things that we've not seen before. And Brother Copeland said, and a couple of these things I'm taking from a letter, the partner letter that he wrote, the January partner letter. I get a copy of that before it goes into production. I get a copy of the handwritten letter. They send me the handwritten letter, a preview copy. So I start digging into it and I start reading it and I start feeding. And several of the things I'm going to tell you have come from that letter. For instance, in the year 2020, there will be a great increase of visions and dreams according to Acts 2, 14 through 21. An increase of visions and dreams. Pastor Terry and I have been talking about that. I told you before, I have a little book that I kept by my bed because there was a period of time in 2004, I was dreaming. I mean, I was having Technicolor widescreen dreams. And I was writing them down. And I set it aside. And recently, I got it out of my library and I put it right next to my bed. Because I'm expecting to hear from the Lord. To bring me things that I need to know. Instructions in the night season. And in Acts 2, look at verse 14 with me. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." So this is a multi-generational move of God that we're in. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. I believe I receive that word. I believe I receive it. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In Brother Copeland's letter, he wrote this. "We are in the last of the last days. More people are being born of the Spirit and baptized with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues than ever before in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. There has already been an outpouring and a great revival among our sons and our daughters. That revival will increase to levels the likes of which we have only dreamed about." And that really caught my attention. Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters are going to be involved in this outpouring. And this revival amongst our sons and our daughters will increase to levels the likes of which we have only dreamed about. Do you receive that today? And it can be sons and daughters who are 4 and 5 years old, or can be sons and daughters who are 24 and 25, or 44 and 45, or on up. It's sons and daughters, and there's a revival for sons and daughters. Do you take that today? Wow. Wow. The Lord will reveal new insights, ideas, and concepts never before seen or heard. I believe that I'm addressing innovators. innovators, inventors. Because no telling what can come to you in a vision or a dream that will bless humanity. Irving Roth, what a time we had with him. What a blessing that man is. And I had the opportunity to have lunch with him, sat right next to him. And if any of you missed him, you can go online and watch last Wednesday night's service. How compelling. How inspirational. How articulate this man of God is. 90 years young. And has the same fire as Charles Green sitting over here. We love examples like you. But I had the opportunity to speak with Irving Roth. And I'm always interested in people like that and what is your background. I've heard the story about the Holocaust and the concentration camps. But what came after that? What happened after that? And I'll tell you really quick, one of the neat things was when I came back to the speaker's room to meet him last week for the first time. I'd seen him for years at CUFI, but I'd never met him before. So I introduced myself to him, he and his wife. And I just thought I'd ask him because I was born in New York. I hear that you're from New York. He said, I am. I said, well, I was born in Flushing, Queens. He said, really? He said, I live in a place called Long Island. I said, when I was a child, I grew up in Mineola, Long Island. And he dropped his mouth and he said, what was your address? I grew up just a few blocks from Irving Roth. Isn't that something? And that really made a quick connection between the two of us because we just started talking about the neighborhood. He's still there. He still lives there. We moved there. I talked to my sister. We moved there in 1954. He moved there in 1959. We moved to Massachusetts in 63. He and I were there at the same time together. So we had a great connection, the New York connection. Anyway, I'm talking to him at lunch. So I'm talking about his life. I said, What did you do? What were you involved in? He said, I was an engineer. Ah, a designer of things. Yes. He said, I worked for Bulova Watch Company, but didn't realize that Bulova Watch made more things than just watches. And he was telling me about an assignment that he was given for a missile. It was a firing apparatus. And they gave him this assignment because the firing apparatus in the missile weighed 20 pounds. He redesigned it to 8 ounces. Same thing, to 8 ounces. Innovation, new ideas, new visions. Have we plumbed the depths of everything that has been invented? I don't think so. I don't think we have. I think there are more things that need to be invented. I don't know. Maybe we need to have an innovator's life group. And maybe we need to have a laboratory, or in the movies, a laboratory. I told you about my grandfather, the car designer, the things that he designed. He slanted the windshield. They said he was too far ahead of his time. He was a prophet, so to speak. He was seeing into things. He designed the first motorized hearse. I've got a picture of it at home with his handwriting on it that says something to look forward to. That's... I was just searching the internet. I just typed in his name, Ernest T. Pearsons. And I found something. This was a few years ago. I found something that I never knew he had done. And it had the patent and all the schematic drawings with his signature under it for the apparatus in a bus that the driver reaches out and pulls and opens the door. He designed that thing. So there are more things. Really, if you really look at the iPhone today, that really is, I believe, in God's mind and in God's thinking, it is really like that apparatus that opened that door. There are more things that need to be, there are new, more visions that need to take place. So the Lord will reveal, new insights, ideas, and concepts never before seen or heard. And I'm believing for that, for the staff of our church and this ministry and the Bible school. I believe that this ministry has innovators all around it. I told him that before in a chapel, because Brother Copeland will come out with an idea. He hands it over to us. And then what do? I hand it over to the innovators. And there are some things that we've done over the years that really have had that innovative spirit about it. But I'm ready to see some new insights, new ideas, new concepts, never before seen or heard. But on the phone, Brother Copeland was talking to me about this word, and he said there's a warning attached to the word. He gave me 2 Corinthians 11:14 that says, "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He said our visions and dreams must line up with Scripture. They must line up with Scripture. And anything that is done here, it has to be judged. And I'm the judge. My wife is the judge. We judge these things. Really, the foundation of it is love. We're watching out. We're watching out for our people here. Be very watchful if somebody comes to you and wants your money for an investment. I don't allow that to take place in this church. If you want to do it outside the church, you go ahead and do it. But there have been too many people who have gone shipwrecked, financially under, by somebody that's come into the church who looked shiny and polished and had a real professionalism about them, and they cleaned out bank accounts. So don't do that. That's a warning. So our visions and dreams must line up with Scripture. All right, let's take a look at this next one. 2020, the year of manifested power and great change. Great change. 2020 will be a year of great change. Wonderful and magnificent changes in the kingdom of God in the earth. Changes that will come because of insights, ideas, concepts directly from Jesus to His church by His mighty Spirit. Glorious concepts of how His laws work. Now, He mentions here four of them. Four of these. And let me just touch on them. We don't have the time to really delve into it, but let me just touch on the ones that He spoke about. The first one, talking about glorious concepts of how His laws work. He's talking about the laws governing increase and financial prosperity. Insights into the laws governing increase and financial prosperity. Again, we have not plumbed the depths of everything that we need to know about this. There's more. And folks, there's a lot of money out there. It's a lot of money out there. I was praying over supernatural wealth transfer yesterday. That wealth transfer into the kingdom of God. I believe it. There's a lot of money that's being used by people who are working for the devil that needs to be transferred into the kingdom of God. So we're talking about the laws that govern increase in financial prosperity. And I'll give this to you. This is Brother Savelle's word for 2020. In 2020, the Lord said, "I will open a new door and I will cause my faithful ones to experience supernatural increase as never before." You've got to take that word. Receive that word. You go online and you watch the messages. Brother Jerry just preached a message some weeks ago about this. I was listening to it this morning and yesterday. Feeding on it, feeding on the word, because I want to step through that open door. I want to walk through that open door. And I will cause, the Lord said, my faithful ones to experience supernatural increase as never before. Are you ready for supernatural increase like never before? Can I get a rousing amen from that? I'm ready for it. There's a lot of things that need to be done around here. A lot of things. Millions and millions of dollars worth of things that need to be done around here. So I'm expecting that we're going to walk through the new door that'll cause the faithful ones to experience supernatural increases never before. If you are a tither, you are one of the faithful ones. Walking in integrity, walking in love, one of the faithful ones. And then this is a word. I threw this in here. The Lord's been speaking to me about this for some couple of months now. I have such a surplus of wealth laid up for you that you have no idea just how massive it is. It's laid up. And right now you have no idea how massive it is, but we're going to get there. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. And Brother Copeland gave a word November 20th of 2011. The Lord said, I have a great storehouse. Much more has been stored up in the storehouse of riches beyond your wildest dream. Much more is stored up there than what the church has ever called for. So we have to call for it. We have to call for it. There's a great storehouse. There's a great storehouse. There's a massive surplus. There is an increase, supernatural increase as never before. And Lord, help us to see that. Help us to understand these laws that govern increase and financial prosperity. You want to take us to the next level. You want to take us to the next step. In this, debt freedom. Debt freedom. Abundant living in Him. So that was that one. The second one He gave was the laws of the Spirit that release miracles, divine healings, and manifestations of His almighty power on the earth. The laws of the Spirit that release miracles, that release divine healings, and manifestations of His almighty power in the earth. Again, I refer to the word of the Lord that Jerry Savelle gave last year. Last year, he said 2019, the year of marvels, wonders, and extraordinary manifestations of the greatness of our God. But in this word that I was watching the other day online, he said this, don't stop believing this because 2019 is over. He's saying the same thing that we're saying about the prophetic word. Don't stop believing it. Don't throw away the abundant harvest. Don't throw all of those years away. They build on top of the other. He said, the Lord told me to tell people that this word was for 2019 and beyond. It is not over. It is not over. And as I was praying, getting ready, getting things to the car this morning and so forth, there was a turn with me very quickly, if you would. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. The Lord brought this up in my heart. I mean, I could literally feel, I felt it come up in my heart. I hadn't thought about this scripture in a little bit of time. But it came up in my heart, and He drew me to this in light of the laws of the Spirit that release miracles, divine healings, manifestations of His almighty power in the earth. And He reminded me of Exodus 34:10. In the King James, and He said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people, I will do marvels. The Amplified says wonders and miracles, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with you. In the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord replied, listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. So these laws of the Spirit, the laws of the Spirit were the release of miracles and healings and the awesome power of God. The next one, new concepts of His love and His very person, for He is love. New concepts of His love. And if you will allow me, let me read this scripture to you from the Amplified Translation. You can write it down. Ephesians 3:17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. Now listen to this. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? I wrote down in my notes that this is describing the four unlimited dimensions of God's love. We don't know the fullness of His love, but we have to understand something, that He loves us with His fullness right now. He's not holding anything till heaven. He's not keeping it back. He's not divvying out His love. He loves you with the fullness of His love right now. And there is nothing you can do to make Him love you any more than He loves you right now. As He told me many years ago, not one more sermon, not one more thing, not one more project. The Lord loves us to the fullness right now. And it's up to us to understand these new concepts of His love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled throughout your whole being unto all the fullness of God, or you can say all the fullness of love, because God is love. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with love Himself. New concepts of the love in His very person, for He is love. Let me give you an example. An example. As I told you, and I shared this with KCBC this week in a chapel, that 20 years ago I had an encounter with love Himself. And it was when I went to visit my parents in Massachusetts, and I was staying at this little inn, and the Lord told me that when I was getting up the first morning, He said, stay in bed. He said, I want you to meditate on my love for 1 hour. And that's when I began to say, my Father loves me, my Father loves me, my Father loves me. And that's where He spoke to me, and He said to me, that's not one more thing you can do to make me love you any more than I love you right now. Or any less. I love you with my fullness. And ever since that time, I've experienced more and more, because I know that it's limitless. So I've experienced more and more. And the other day, I was just walking in my study and I was praying in the Spirit, just worshiping the Lord. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about His love and new concepts of His love. And this is so funny, it just came to my mind. I started thinking about how many sermons I've preached. I thought about Brother Copeland, first of all, I thought, how many sermons has he preached? Then I thought, how many sermons have I preached at Eagle Mountain? And for just a moment, it's like a little sadness came over me, because I thought to myself, you know, sometimes you ask people, how was church? Great. What did he preach? I don't remember. And you know, your mind starts wandering that way, and you go, has it really been worth it? Has it done anything? You know, if you let your mind wander just a little bit, it'll go that way. And the Lord stopped me right in the middle of it. And you know what He said to me? He said, George, I remember every sermon you ever preached. Charles, the Lord remembers every sermon you have ever preached. He remembers every word that you've given to every person. I mean, you have a great memory, but I'm not sure you could remember every word that you gave to every person. The Lord loves us so much, Charles. He remembers every word. He remembers everything that you have done in your ministry from the very beginning. And He said to me, He said, I remember, he's saying, I remember every sermon. He said, I could quote it back to you note by note, what you said. And I happened to, I think that he might skip the parts that maybe. And some time ago, I started thinking about this. I started thinking about the fact that He remembers every gift that we've given. Every seed that we have sown into His kingdom, He has record of it, and He appreciates it. And He could sit down with you. He could sit down with you, and from the very beginning, He could tell you what your first gift was into the church. I was giving into the church when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, still living in New York, I was probably about 5 years old. And I went to Sunday school. It was a September. And they gave us our little box of envelopes. You know, the ones that are numbered and dated. They started back then. And I had my little box of envelopes. And I put my offering in there every Sunday. And I remember I was so excited. I was so excited about that little box of envelopes that after church was over, I was running through the hall. I can see it right now. I was running through the hall and I tripped and I fell. And all of my envelopes flew everywhere. But I believe the Lord could sit down with me and say, on September 28th, 1959, you gave 25 cents to my kingdom. He loves us that much. New concepts of his love. And really, we have somewhat that concept as parents. Do you have pictures of your kids? Do you have got video of your kids? I really should buy a building with all the stuff that I've kept. All the boxes of mementos, boxes of daycare, Aubrey, daily reports. I've got a stack. Aubrey was this today. Aubrey ate that today. Aubrey did this today. Why do I keep that? Because I love her. I love her. And the memories are so precious. The memories of our children are so precious. And oftentimes I'll look at some of those. We have scrapbooks. A scrapbook is where you put... Scrapbooks these days are like this. Like that. Scrapbooks back then, you've got pictures in them. And it just... I look back and I see how precious. How precious. How much more does the Father do that with you? How much more? How much more has He kept every little award that you ever got? How much more is that precious to Him? Where we're talking about new concepts of His love. And then finally, insights into the true power and strength of His joy. I like that. Insights into the true power and the strength of His joy. In John 15, as a matter of fact, musicians, if you'd come, and ushers, if you begin to pass out the elements of communion, we're going to receive communion before we leave today. In John 15, 11, in the Amplified, Jesus said, I've told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you. That's the Amplified. And that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. He wants us living in overflowing joy. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. The joy of the Lord. Strength. And I found the scripture, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We've read that before, but I found these two translations that I really hadn't looked at before. One says the DBT translation, the joyful heart promotes healing. So joy, we need to know some things about the laws of joy and how that affects us. And then this other one, this is really good. A joyful mind makes age flourishing. A joyful mind makes age flourishing. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord working on the inside of us. David, go ahead and play. Oh, Father, we thank you. We glorify you. Terry, you want to come up and help me? Thank you.